This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
speak, confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say.
Quiet my heart, Father, I'm listening. I'm listening to what you want to share with us this afternoon. There's so much information which is dumped onto us, Father. The news, the TV, the radio, the messages what we're getting, the YouTube clips. So much what is dumped onto us. But there's only one message which has got value, because it has got value forever and ever. And it has got value in the past, and it is your message, Father. And I pray as we're going to listen this afternoon what is on your heart, Father, that we're going to hear what you want to share with us. And yes, there are things which are in our heads at the moment, which are distracting us, which are letting us think about things what happened earlier this week, or maybe even this morning, or maybe just now. But we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that the enemy is not going to steal from our thoughts, that we can hear what is it what you want to share with us, Father. We're looking forward to listen to you and to hear what is on your heart. I want to be quiet. I want to be still. In Jesus' name, amen. Be still. Keep quiet. Some parents will sometimes say to their children, be still, keep quiet, don't disturb, I'm busy with something else. But there's much more in it. And I pray that God is going to reveal it to us this afternoon, of what is important, what is it what he wants to share with us this afternoon. I've been a few Sundays, I've not been standing here. There were some other preachers over here. We had them imported from all over the world. Geoffrey helped, Derek helped, Banish helped, Christo helped last week. Next week is going to be Urbanus, who is going to preach. We're really privileged with people who want to bring God's word. They're going to listen to what God has got. What is the message what God has got today? What is it what the people have got to hear? And then they can share it. And when I was busy with this sermon as well, I thought, isn't this something what Banish already spoke about? Isn't it something what Christo mentioned last week? Then I thought, anyway, it's a confirmation. God is speaking with us. We are in a season that he has got a message for us and that we've got to focus on him. One thing which I was made aware of it this week again, and I'll share it a little bit later, is the question, how much are we allowing God in our lives? How much are we prepared to listen to what God wants to share with us? That we can say, okay, this is something which is important. I must listen to that. That must be my base for what I'm doing in this world. And then when I prepared for this sermon, I got a word, be still. And if I say, be still, then immediately somebody will say, and know that I'm God. Psalm 46, verses 10. 100%, you're correct. That's the one where we're going to speak about this afternoon. Psalm 46. But that be still is only a part. And yes, you can open your Bible at Psalm 46, because we're going to spend most of the afternoon, we're going to spend in that verse, in that scripture. Now, be still is a part of it. But we've got to really look and see what does it mean. We've got to start at the beginning and we've got to read the whole psalm and see what is behind it. And this psalm, I'm going to go it by verse. I'm going to go through it now. It's only 11 verses. It's not Psalm 150, because then we had to get some bread and some coffee over here as well. So it's only 11 verses what we're going to go through. And it's quite important, because I think today we can learn something from it as well. There's still a message in it, what God wants to give to us. And I'm going to start directly in the beginning. It says to the chief musician, not quite sure if David was involved in this psalm or not. And then it says, a psalm of the son of Korah, a song for Alamoth. And Alamoth were apparently the sopranes who were singing, and majority of them were virgins. Just for some background information. This Psalm 46 starts with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, if we read this, then you can already spend how many hours on it? God is our refuge. It's a place where we can flee to, where we can go, where we can look for security. He's our fortress. He's a high tower. We can spend time with God. God is our refuge, and he's our strength. And with strength, it implies that he is the source of strength. God is going to give us the strength, and it's also that we may rely on the strength what God is giving us. A very present help in trouble. Very present. It's applicable each and every day. God's help and strength wasn't only for the Old Testament, but it's for each and every day till where Jesus is going to come back, and it's available. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and he's helping us. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth may be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Therefore we will not fear. We will not fear because God is our refuge and God is our strength. Even though the earth will be removed, the earth is symbolizing something which is solid for us. And if I'm going to speak to all of you and I'm going to ask you the question, what are you glad about? What is solid? Then you will give me an answer. The one will say that I can stand with both feet on the ground, that I'm not in the air somewhere. The other one will say, my work, that's so solid, I've got a job and I'm going to work there till my pension. The other one will say, it's my marriage, it's my wife, it's my kids, it's the house what I've got, the car what I've got. It's giving me such a lot of confidence. And this is where it says, even though the earth may be removed. So if those things are going to change around, that God is still our refuge and God is still our strength. And things are happening. If we take around the world at the moment, how many people's businesses are in jeopardy at the moment? They maybe still have got it. They're not quite sure if they still have got it tomorrow. And maybe they've already lost it. Things where they've been working on and where they've got an income from for years and years, where it was solid as the earth, suddenly it's gone. It's not solid anymore. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. With respect, there are not many mountains in the Netherlands, so that principle over here is a little bit difficult to apply for the people in the Netherlands. But hopefully you've seen mountains in other places, and otherwise go and visit Switzerland and at least you can see some of those mountains there. To imagine that if things like that are going to happen, that those mountains are not going to be there anymore, then Switzerland is going to look like the Netherlands, no mountains, and those mountains are going to be in the sea. Things which look so solid, such a big mountain, piece of rock, it's moved. If those things are moving, God is still my refuge. God is still my strength. He's still there. Though his waters, verse 3, though its waters roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with their swelling, Selah. Though its waters roar and trouble, there's not a solid foundation. There's a turbulation. We can read it in a few different places in Scripture as well, where it is talking about that we are being tossed around by the waves. Water is moving you around. We know if we're standing in the sea and if the waves are coming, it's tossing you around. Typically me with my length, it's tossing me around. And this is what's being referred to over here. Things happening in your circumstances are tossing you around. You're not steady. God is still our refuge. God is still our strength. Though the mountains shake with their swelling, those huge mountains, if they still move around, if things like that are going to happen, we can still trust on a God. And that word, Selah, I never actually knew what it meant. But when I looked it up, what it actually means, it means that you've got to pause. Both the musician and the singers, they've got to breathe now. They just have got to become quiet, and they just have got to breathe. A pause. But also what it says, that we ourselves are going to just become quiet for meditation. And if we take a look at Psalm 46, then we see it's mentioned three times. So we've got three different blocks. And at the end of each and every block, it says, Selah. Musicians, you can sit down. Singers, you can put the microphone down. We can just sit down and meditate a little bit on this piece of what has just now been said. I'm not going to do it this afternoon because we still have got to get home as well. The second part, there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In a previous part, it was spoken about the waves which were being tossed around, mountains falling into the sea, the solid ground what we had was shaken. Over here, it's talking about a river. We nearly can feel it. We're sitting next to the river and we hear that water flow. There's a river whose streams shall make glad. Who? The city of God. This is what it shall make glad. The city of God is Jerusalem, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And then the tabernacle had those two places, the holy place and the most holy place. So from the contrast, what's shaking, we get a peace from God. Because that river is representing God's grace, God's mercy, His favor. It's a life-giving flow which is coming from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three are giving that peace, giving river which is coming in. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. God is in her midst. God is in that city. God is in Jerusalem. He's protecting Jerusalem. He shall not be moved. And God is going to help her just at the break of dawn. The break of dawn means that there's darkness. It's a dark world. And the break of dawn, the light is coming. God's light is coming, which is moving away the darkness. So there's a promise what we can hear, that if God is in the midst of the city of Jerusalem, then there's no place for darkness over there. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. Some of the other translations, they don't use the word nations, but they're talking about heathens, the Gentiles, the unbelievers. The unbelievers are screaming and shouting. Open up the newspaper, listen to the radio. What are they saying about the churches? What are they saying about the believers? Screaming, shouting. Kingdoms were moved. What we see in the world as well. And then God uttered his voice. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. There we can see the power and the strength of God just by speaking, just by his voice, just by his words. The earth melted. Melted like wax, what you've got with a candle. It melted. Because God is speaking. He created heaven and earth just by the spoken word. And then the beautiful verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts means that he's the master. He's the commander. He's the captain. He's the king of all combined forces. He's the Lord of the heavenly armies. He's with us. We don't have to be afraid. God is with us, the God of Jacob. He's our refuge. And then again, Selah. Quiet. Let's just think a little bit about it. The turbulence in the first part, the promise in the second part, what we get from God, that life-giving river. Interesting. If we take Jerusalem, all the other cities which we've got in the world, the majority of those cities have been built next to a river. Jerusalem not. Because they rely on the river for supply. They rely on the river for trading. Utrecht as well. The Vecht went to the IJsselmeer. That was for trading. But Jerusalem wasn't built. It's not built next to the Jordan. You've got to walk quite a distance over there. It's not relying on water. It's relying on God's plan. That city had to be there. That was God's plan. As what Christo also mentioned last week, God has got a plan for each and everything, for Jerusalem and also for us. First, the second. Now we come with the third part of this Psalm 46. Come, behold the works of God, who has made desolations in the earth. Whatever God has said has happened. The promises he made, he has kept his promises. God has proven him that he is solid. In one of two conversations as well, even the one which I had this week, that a person also said, is it really going to happen as what God mentioned in the Bible? And I said, yes. Because if I'm going to doubt that God is not going to keep his promises, then why do I believe? God has kept his promises. Verse 9, he makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. God is above everything. And if there's a war, then he can stop the war. And if there's a certain fight, then he can stop the fight. What is he doing? He's taking those things which are there, which are needed for the fight. He takes them and he breaks them. He breaks the bow. He breaks the spear. Now, if you break it, you can't use it anymore. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It's gone. It's finished. You can't fight anymore. And God is doing that. So if there's a fight between one country and the other country, or there's a fight even between two people, God can come and he can break those things. That there's no reason for the fight anymore. He burns the chariot in the fire. What apparently the custom was, if you've defeated another army, then you took all his belongings, and I presume it must have been able that you could burn it, chucked it all together, you lit it on, and you had a nice big fire. Because the enemy couldn't use it again. Nobody else could use it against you anymore. God is cutting, breaking the bow, cutting the spears, and burning the chariots in fire. And this is the whole time when the psalmist is writing. Now the next verse, verse 10, is when God is speaking. Certain Bibles are mentioning it, other Bibles are not really mentioning it. There should be actually quotation marks so that you can see this is God speaking now. And God is saying, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is God speaking. All the turbulence what we heard about before, and God says, be still. He's speaking now. And that be still is not just be quiet. There's much more involved in it. It means that you stop with what you're doing at the moment, physically but also mentally. That you're also going to stop doing the things where you're maybe going to distract you. That you cut them. That you say, I don't want to be distracted anymore with it. What's included in these words as well, that you basically let your hands hang down. That you're not going to do anything with your hands anymore. Because what are we trying to do with our hands? We're trying to solve a thing. We are trying to solve a problem because we know it. We can solve a problem. But God is saying over here, be still. Let your hands hang down. Leave it for me. Be still. And we also shouldn't make any effort. We shouldn't try and say, okay, I'm going to fix it or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. No. Your hand hangs down and keep quiet. And then leave the matter for God. Difficult for us. Because you can get a book on each and every problem what you've got in this world. 5 steps to get your girlfriend back again. 10 steps to bring up a child. Whatever it is. You can mention as strange as you want to. There's a book for it. And God is saying it. Leave it for God. Leave it for me. And we shouldn't be anxious about it. what's going to happen now? What is God going to do it? Bring it to God and leave it over there. Psalm 46 has been written, and most scholars and most commentaries are agreeing on it, is that it is based on a story of King Hezekiah, who was being attacked by the Assyrian king. And if we can see the similarity, as we go quickly through the story now of King Hezekiah, the similarity between Psalm 46 and what happened with the king and what the king did over there. If you really want to look it up, you can find it in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Both of the chapters have got 37 verses. Now, King Hezekiah was considered one of the greatest kings in Judah, what Judah ever had. Why? He was depending on God. He was totally depending on God. When he became king, I think it was at the age of 25, so he must have been a young guy. So some of them of you are already older than 25, so you wouldn't have qualified anymore. He was 25 and he started. And what did he do? He cleaned the temple and he repaired the temple. The place where God was worshipped, he cleaned it and he repaired it. He also restored the ministries of the priests and the Levites. So those people who've been instructed by the law of Moses, the Levites, what they had to do, he reinstated that again. In my case, it would have been that I maybe was only preaching once a month. But Koning Hezekiah would say, sorry, Derek-Jan, each and every week, Sunday, I want you to be here. You must preach. This is what Moses has told us in the law. This is what he did. So he restored everything again according to what Moses had written down in the law. He restored also the celebration of the Passover feast, where God spoke and said to the people, you must have those feasts, including those three times what they had to go, the male people, to Jerusalem, and that they had to attend the feast over there. You've got to keep those feasts. You've got to be present over there. And did another important thing. He destroyed any altar or worship site for a false god. He destroyed it. So if there was anything like all those Buddha images what you can see in the Netherlands, you would have been quite busy for the next few weeks to destroy all of them. But he would have destroyed all of them. That's what he says over here. Any altar or any worship site, he would have destroyed it. Like I said, he would have been quite busy in the Netherlands over here. Destroy it. King Hezekiah was also rebelling against the king of Assyria. And then the king of Assyria wasn't happy with that, so he came. And he came to Judah, and he started taking in the different cities. But then he came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He put his army totally around it. And then you think, what chance of life do I have? What's going to happen with us now? This mighty king, because that Assyrian kingdom was huge. It comes to this small Judah, to this Jerusalem, and he puts his army around it. And then the generals, the king's name was Sennacherib, and if my pronunciation is not correct, then please you can tell it, Renee, afterwards. But the generals of King Sennacherib, they came and they stood at the wall and they were shouting and screaming to the people and telling them, why do you believe in a God? Why do you put trust in a God of Israel? Does it sound familiar? Are we not hearing the same? Why do you put trust in a God? But the people didn't reply to him because the king said, do not answer them. Now, what did the king do? Hezekiah reacted by entering the house of the Lord. It was clean. It was neatly repaired. He has already done it. And he went to the house of the Lord. And he asked and he prayed for Jerusalem and for God's faithful people. He was not praying for himself. He was praying for the town. He was praying for the people. And even the thing, the letter of demand, the letter of surrendering, which was given by the king of Assyria, which was given to him, King Hezekiah brought it to the temple and he put it in front of God. And he said, Lord, what must I do? And then listen what he's praying over there. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, that we can read in 2 Kings 19:19. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are God, that you are Lord God, you alone. What is he saying over here? That the world may know that he is God. That is what is most important for Hezekiah. So we can see he was totally surrendering. He was totally following God. Hezekiah was praying to God. God sent Isaiah with a message to him. And Isaiah said, what you've preached, I've heard. This was God speaking then through Isaiah. The king of Assyria will leave the same way as what he came. And then the next day, 2 Kings 19, verses 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, they were all corpses, all dead. The angel of God. Some commentators, they say it's maybe Jesus. It doesn't matter. It was somebody, a messenger from God, killed 185,000 soldiers. So when they came that morning, when the light pushed away the darkness, and when they saw that just corpse, just bodies, nothing is there anymore. And then we can see that that most powerful kingdom, Assyria, came and wanted to go to Judah. When King Hezekiah went to God and God got involved, what happened over there? One angel. The people themselves didn't do anything. They left it with God. They were still. They let their hands down. But they brought it to God and they trusted God to see what was going to happen. But God showed his mercy and his willingness to renew his relationship with the people and to be God, to be Judah's God and protector, if the people would only trust him. And that's where it is about, that they would trust him. Now, if we take Psalm 46, if we take the story of Hezekiah, and if we put our own life on top of it, can we see some similarities? Can we see certain things which are happening in our lives as well? What we can see in the world around us, that it is happening. Can we recognize ourselves? Can we also say, yes, I can feel like Jerusalem. I feel that the army is around me. I don't know where to go to. I can't go anywhere. It is just a matter of time. And then the army will move in. And they will take over. We also have got our situations in our lives which look like overwhelming us, as what the Assyrians were overwhelming for King Hezekiah over here. It looks like it's going to kill us. We've got the people around us who are talking negatively about God. On a Thursday evening when we're going to evangelize, it's happening more than once that we say, can we ask you a question? Can we speak to you about God? That they say, I don't want to know anything about God. When you sit in the bus, that you hear the people behind you swearing, blaspheming God, the same as what the generals of the king did of the Assyrians when they were standing at the wall, talking badly about God. We've got it also around us. We also have got it among us. How should we react? What should we do? Same as King Hezekiah, go to God's temple, seek his face, pray. Yes. Is that all? No. I think there's much more with it. There's much more what we can learn from this. What we can learn from this Psalm 46 and King Hezekiah, what he did over there. What did he do? King Hezekiah cleaned the temple and he repaired the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How is our life actually looking like? What are we doing? Is our house, our home, really a temple? Is it ready? Are we behaving like a temple for the Holy Spirit? Or are there sometimes words as well which are coming out which you most probably wouldn't hear in the temple? I don't know. But he cleaned and he repaired the temple. King Hezekiah also restored the ministries of the priests and the Levites. We maybe have got to look at our spiritual life. We maybe have got to look at our relationship with God. But King Hezekiah was focusing on that. We say, but wait a moment. I know I'm not at the best place at the moment. Somebody before the sermon mentioned a percentage of 85% when I asked him how he's doing. And maybe your spiritual life is also that you say, 85%. Then there's place for improvement. And this is what King Hezekiah also did. He looked at the spiritual life and he improved it. He wanted to have that best relationship with God, what was possible. Also that he restored the celebrations and the Passover. We've got to listen to what God is saying to us. We've got to ask, and God is telling us, and then we've got to obey. And it's maybe happening that God has spoken to you at a certain time in your life, and that you said, I didn't react. I didn't want to go. Reinhard Bonnke was the third person who went to Africa. There were two other people before him that the Lord spoke to and said to them, you've got to go to Africa. Those people didn't want to go. Reinhard Bonnke went because the Lord told him, you're my third person I'm asking now. So yes, maybe there's something in your life that you said, but God spoke to me and I thought about it and this happened and that happened and yeah, actually it never came from it, so I've never done it. If you've got such a situation, don't leave it. Go back to God. Repent of it and say, Lord, I made a mistake over there. All of us make mistakes. I also make mistakes. And then say, Lord, where do you want to use me? What is it what I should do now for you, for your life? What King Hezekiah also did, he destroyed any altar or worship site to the false god. Now this means that we've got to be very critical. And then you think, we can't be that critical. We've got to be critical. If we've got the example of King Hezekiah, who got rid of all the statues, who got rid of all the places where they were praying to false gods, he got rid of them. We've got to do exactly the same in our lives. If we've got dream catches, cut them. Don't give them to somebody else. Throw them in a dustbin. If you've got other stuff, and I hopefully don't hope that you've got a Buddha sign in your, or a Buddha thing in your kitchen or in your garden or whatever, it's not from God. We can't have that stuff on us. We've got to get rid of it. And if you're not sure, ask God and say, Lord, what do you want me, what I should do with it? Must I destroy it? Must I throw it away? And maybe you're working at a place that you say, but each and every day I see that certain picture and I know that picture is ungodly, but I'm just an employee over there. I cannot cut it into pieces or maybe steal it or anything like that. Then take some oil, just anoint it. Just cancel all the powers which are on that picture that is not going to affect your life. But we've got to clean. So hopefully your dustbin is going to get some stuff this week which doesn't belong in your house. I chucked away all my CDs and my those plates, I'm not quite sure what you actually call them, those black plates. I had plenty of them. I chucked them all away from Queen and Deep Purple and I don't know what those type of bands were. They don't belong. They do not sing about God. They sing about other stuff. Anyway, let's carry on. And then what did Hezekiah? Hezekiah asked Isaiah to pray to God. We do not have to go through another person on earth anymore. We've got a Holy Spirit in us, so we can speak directly with God. And God will speak through the Holy Spirit to us. What a privilege. We don't have to wait till Isaiah is going to come at bus 46, maybe in time. No, we can immediately communicate. God is always available. He's never closed. The doors are always open. And Hezekiah bought what was overwhelming to him, and he wrote it down. Bring it to God. And as I was preparing, I felt as well, there's a person who's got a certain thing which you're battling to bring to God. It's difficult for you to verbalize it. Take a piece of paper, write it down, and just put it down and say, Lord, this is my stuff, this is my problem. I don't know how to handle it, but I'm bringing it to you. And leave it over there, because it's most probably in your quiet room where you're communicating with God anyway, so that you can see it tomorrow again and that you can pray about it again. So if that's say that you say, okay, wait a moment, that I think is for me, then do it. Write it down and put it down, as what King Hezekiah also did. And then, be still. King Hezekiah prayed. And he lets his hands down. He said, Lord, it's your time. I'm your child. Do whatever has got to be done. God sent an angel to kill 185,000 enemies. I don't think that God is going to send an angel or a messenger over here then going to kill 185,000 unbelievers. I don't think that God is going to do something like that. And I cannot also promise that God is going to react immediately, because it says the next morning. Maybe it can take some time. Maybe it could be that it is never happening. But one thing what we've got to do, if we do nothing, nothing is going to happen. But at least we've got to go to God and say, Lord, this is my current situation. This is my problem. I feel like Jerusalem. I'm inside walls. The enemy is around me. They besiege the town. It's just a matter of time, and then I've got to surrender. And it's happening as well. Thursday evening, we were going to evangelize in town, and normally we always speak to people, and then we start speaking to people. But Thursday evening, somebody came to us and started speaking with us. And that person asked if we were Christians. And I said, yes, we are Christians, and we're bringing the message of God. And then we started communicating, and she asked a few questions. We gave a few answers. We asked a few questions. The person gave a few answers. But then it came to the situation that that person said, it doesn't matter. The God, what the Christians have got, God, what Allah is, what the Islam has got, the gods what they're praying for in the Hindus, whatever God there is all over the world, what people are praying for, it's all the same God. There's a mighty power in heaven. And I said to her, I cannot agree with that. Because if I'm going to agree with that, then it basically means, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die on the cross? And she said, no, it is, if God exists and God is love, then he is going to allow all the people into heaven. I said, no, God's word is not saying that. But she said, how can God then be a loving God? I said, he's a loving God because he's giving you an option. You can choose. Adam and Eve can choose. We've got those type of people around us each and every day. They are talking to us. And they're spreading that type of message. That the God what you've got, the God, the Father of Jesus, can also be Allah, can also be another God. It's a lie. And without knowing, it's exactly the same as that enemy who's around Jerusalem. And it's just a matter of time. If we're going to listen to that stuff, and if we're going to let it come into our ears, and if we're going to accept it, at final time, we are going to surrender to the enemy. We're going to say exactly the same. So we've got to be very strict. We've got to be very critical, the same as what Hezekiah did, the example what he gave to us today. We've got to do a few things. We've got to clean the temple. We've got to restore the ministries. We've got to restore the celebration. We've got to destroy the altars if they're not from God. We've got to bring our things to God. We've got to put our trust in God. Because otherwise, these type of messages, these type of false prophets, if I can put it in that way, they are going to take over. And they're going to take over the city. So yes, if we put the three on top of each other, like I said, maybe you can identify with it, that you can say, yes, it makes sense to me. I've got stuff which I've got to bring to the Lord, which I feel which is pressing onto me, which is overwhelming for me. And God is saying this afternoon, be still. Your hands hang down, but give it to Him. If necessary, even write it. But today I'm not want to make you afraid, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that irrespective of the condition, irrespective of the situation with you all, at least you're not as bad situation as what King Hezekiah was experiencing over there. But there's an option. We can go to God. We know God. And then we can smile. And then we can have confidence. And then we can have joy. Because we know that there's a living God. And we can put our trust in Him, as what King Hezekiah also did. He was depending on God. I'm going to read the last part of Psalm 46 again. The last, before we get the Salah. It's coming from the Amplified. So the words are just a little bit more elaborated. I don't think there were so many words in the Bible, but what the Amplified is doing is always putting an additional word or two, which is explaining or what has been written over here. And that we can think about it again, what God wants to do in our lives. But it's not a matter of that we can just wait for God to come. There are a few things what we can do from our side as well. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks down, He breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Let be and be still. And know, recognize and understand that I am God. This is God speaking then. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on earth. And that word exalted as well means that we're going to put God first. We're going to lift God above all the other things which are important for us. We're going to put God first. We're not going to put God next to something else. We're going to exalt Him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The leader of the heavenly armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our high tower and stronghold. Selah. Pause. Calmly think of that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you and that you're speaking to us again this afternoon. That we do not have to sort out all the problems, but that we can come with our situations to you, Father. And some of them can look so big for us and so overwhelming. But as would you help King Hezekiah as well, we pray that you're going to help us, that we also can bring it to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you want to be our Father through Jesus Christ. And if you may be listening or watching this afternoon, and you do not have that relationship with God, and you say, but you're talking about God, but I've never actually made that decision, then I'm inviting you this afternoon that you can say, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to accept the Holy Spirit as my helper. I want to accept God as my Father. And I'm asking you, please make contact with me that we can pray together. And if you're here this afternoon or watching or viewing or listening to it and you say, yes, I can relate to that. I can feel that there's
something around me which is nearly feels like an army which is besieging me. And with time, I've got to surrender. Bring that to God. And if that's you, then I'm going to ask you that you're going to raise your hand, that you can say, yes, that's me. I can feel there's something in my life which is around me. And I'm afraid of it. I don't know how to handle it. This is overwhelming. I want to bring it to God. And I want to become still. That's what God is saying. Be still and know that I'm God. And I thank you, Father, for those hands. And I pray, Lord, that you're going to speak to those people. And that you're also going to help those people. And that you're also going to show in the morning your light, that the darkness will be moved away. Thank you, Father, that it doesn't matter where we open the word of yours, that each and every time that we can read it, that you love us, that you want to be with us, that you want to have that relationship with us, and that you are inviting us each and every time that we can come back to you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we also will get in that habit of becoming still and leaving it with you, and not to try and sort out our own things, because we think we can do it, but that we are going to allow you to come into our lives, that you are going to take over, and that it will not be my life and see where God fits in, that we can say, Lord, I'm living for you, because I'm a child of yours, and I want to be with you in heaven forever and ever. That we invite God into our lives, and that we're going to listen to God, that He can communicate with us through the Holy Spirit where He wants us, how He wants to use us for building His kingdom. Thank you, Father, for being our Father, and thank you that we can be still and know that you are God. And thank you that we can exalt your name. As what you say, you will be exalted among the nations. You will be exalted in the earth. And that we can be part of those people, that we are going to exalt your name, Father, forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing just now two songs. The one is from Psalm 46 from Shane and Shane. They are singing that specific song, and we're going to sing along. And there's a small video clip about it with a guy from, his name is Shane, where he is explaining how he got to write that song, or to put the Psalm 46, to put it in a melody. And he's got four daughters, and then he said at a certain time it was just a little bit too much for him. And he went into his room and he closed the door. And I can imagine, I don't know if there's anyone who's maybe watching who's got four daughters, that you maybe want to just get out and you just want to get your own time. And then he went into his bedroom and then he had a plague against the wall. Be still and know that I'm God. And then he started looking up the whole story behind it, what we've been reading to just now of King Hezekiah. And it was revealed to him how important it is. And if we're going to sing just now as well, then you can, you should just be reminded again. You can hear those words again, what he's been saying there, that we should put our trust in God, that we should become quiet. We're going to sing a second song as well, which is the second part of that verse 10. We are going to exalt God and take time. Because just after that, it says, Selah, become quiet, meditate on it. So if you want to sit on the ground, if you want to stand, if you want to, we haven't got flags today, but if you just want to speak with God, communicate with God, use that option that we can exalt God. Have a blessed week.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. O mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. Lord of hosts, you lead us. Lead us in the fire. Lead us out of shelter. Lead us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts? Oh, God of Jacob, fierce and great, you lift your voice to speak. The earth, it bows, and all the mountains move into the sea. Oh, Lord, you know the hearts of men, and still you let them live. Oh, God, who makes the mountains melt, come wrestle us and win. Oh, God.
Fire. There will be no one like you, and no one beside.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.